This story in 1 Samuel 15 seems to reflect recent events in our national political scene. The background is King Saul was to destroy the Amalekites, the why is for another time, leaving no one and nothing alive. But although he defeated them in battle, he didn't carry through on what God had commanded. And so God tells Samuel the prophet, "I regret making Saul king, for he has turned away from following me." Saul had a track record now of going his own way. He'd even set up a monument to himself, verse 12 of this chapter. Samuel next day went to meet Saul, who is very upbeat and full of, "I've carried out, I have accomplished all that God told me." So why can I see and hear all these animals? And why is Agag the Amalekite king still alive? In response, Saul firstly blamed his people. It was the people who kept the best of the livestock back, as though it was nothing to do with him. And then, "We'll use them to sacrifice to the Lord your God." I mean, that was just simply trying to justify what they had done, because they, or more specifically he, had been found out. If Samuel hadn't challenged him, who thinks Saul's herds would have increased and his bank accounts grown quite substantially with the plunder? Samuel said to him, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Just a few points to note. The first is that the key life question here is, what pleases God most? Is it our making sacrifices to him, or are doing what he requires, what he asks of us? Is the worship we bring from our lips or from our hearts? Because if our heart is not surrendered, no amount of doing or saying is going to cut the mustard. Formal worship is never and can never be a substitute for an obedient life. External devotion, therefore, is useless without inner submission. Secondly, Samuel insists that sin is rightly identified for what it is. You see, Saul's not listening to God. That was not a mistake. It was not an oversight. It actually was downright deliberate rebellion comparable to the sin of witchcraft. And Saul's pride lying behind that was idolatry, as he raised his own will above God's. He had forgotten he was only ever king on behalf of God. And so God's judgment was, "You've rejected me. I will reject you as my king." This was a final decision. God would not change his mind about that. Only it took 25 years to implement, as that was the length of time it took to train up a man after God's own heart. Saul then says, "I've sinned. It was because I feared the people." That is, he's saying he had wanted to curry their favour. Does God forgive sin? Well, yes, of course he does. Will he forgive the sin of anyone who repents? Again, of course he will. That is, if they truly repent. Saul didn't. This was about, "I've said sorry, so let's just sweep it all under the carpet. Let's get back to normal so I can just carry on doing the things that I have been doing." Even his later plea to Samuel to go with him, to be with him in worshipping God, had one eye on the political, on appearances, on his own reputation with the people, ahead of his reputation with God. So what about us? Do we obey as we sacrifice, as we live for our Heavenly Father and the name and the reputation of Jesus.